KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have partly cloudy skies here this morning in the Nishna Valley, and we have a temperature of 35 degrees, looking for a high today of near 50, with northwest wind switching to the east at 10 miles per hour, increasing clouds here this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy, rain developing, changing over to snow late and a low of around 30. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. The Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest of 32-year-old Gordon Thomas Ryan of Dubuque at 12:20 a.m. early Saturday on the east side of Highway 34 and the Highway 48 intersection. He was charged with OWI first offense. He's taken to Montgomery County Jail and held on a $1,000 bond. One person was transported to the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic following a rollover accident Thursday evening south of Anita. Rescue crews were dispatched to the scene at the intersection of Glendale Road and 750th Street just before 6 p.m. Dispatch reports indicated the vehicle apparently failed to stop at the T intersection and went off the road. Initial reports said two people were hurt, but only one was transported to the hospital. Anita Rescue and Wyota First Responders, Medevac Ambulance, and the Cass County Sheriff's Office all responded to the scene. No other details are currently available. Forecasters say holiday travelers returning home should beware. A winter storm front is menacing most of Nebraska and southern Iowa. The National Weather Service issued winter storm watches Friday for both states. Expected winds gusting to 35 miles per hour could create whiteout conditions with snowfall varying from 2 to even 8 inches in some spots. The late fall system is expected to hit western Nebraska this afternoon, surging east and exiting Iowa by Sunday night. And that has caused a number of winter weather advisories and winter storm warnings to be put in place here by the Weather Service. A winter weather advisory for Cass County, along with Audubon, Guthrie, Adair, and Adams counties, will be in effect from midnight tonight until Sunday night. A winter weather advisory for Harrison, Shelby, Pottawatomie counties will be from midnight tonight until 6 p.m. on Sunday. Winter weather advisory for Mills and Montgomery counties from 2 a.m. until 6 p.m. on Sunday. Fremont County is from 4 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, and Monona County from 9 p.m. this evening until noon on Sunday. A winter storm warning is in place for Union, Taylor, and Ringgold counties from 3 a.m. Here during the overnight until midnight on Sunday, and a winter storm warning for Page County from 4 a.m. until 6 p.m. on Sunday. So some various time frames on those different advisories and warnings. You can look at that full list there on our weather page as well. We have that with our forecast up there, so you can see those different time frames. And, of course, this probably will be an evolving and changing situation. We'll keep you best as informed as we can here on KJAN. We did pick up a tenth of an inch of rain yesterday with some intermittent light rain here in our area, but really not a whole lot there to speak of. Once again, that transition expected to happen overnight. We're probably looking past the midnight hour for most of that to start to occur here in the Atlantic area. And right now in our immediate area, forecast predicting a 2 to 4 inch snowfall here through our listening area. In other news, authorities say a woman headed to Des Moines in a hospital had to stop on Thanksgiving Day so her baby could be delivered. Michael Beller was driving his girlfriend, Heather Reed of Lacona, to the hospital when she felt like something was wrong. He pulled over, she got out for a moment, and then had trouble trying to get back in their van. He says he laid her on some grass and called 911. A dispatcher was giving him delivery directions when paramedics showed up, took over, and helped complete the arrival of a nearly 8-pound boy, Caden James Beller. His dad cut the umbilical cord, and their journey to the hospital resumed. Beller told the Des Moines Register that this Thanksgiving was the best I could have asked for. Clarinda Police Chief Heath Brothers is reminding residents that with snowfall expected to occur in Clarinda Saturday night through Sunday, that they have a snow ordinance that will go into effect. The ordinance states that no person shall park any motor vehicle or other apparatus on any street of the city that will obstruct removal of snow when there's been an accumulation of 2 inches or more. And that is in effect until the snowfall stops and then the streets are plowed from curb to curb. They have a $15 parking fine, and then payment of all applicable towing and storage fees are needed there for the vehicles to be released. One of the priorities of the Iowa Association of School Boards in the new year is to get the legislature to pass an extension of the 1-cent sales tax for infrastructure. Atlantic School Board Vice President Christy Pellet talked with other board members about how the taxes helped her district.
Mostly capital needs, technology. In our district of Atlantic, it's been an important resource and fund for us. We've spent over $15 million on projects in Atlantic. Those have included HVAC and LED lighting improvements. The important part of that has increased our energy efficiency in the district, which saves dollars in the general fund.
She says there are other projects where the fund has helped.
We have also utilized that to improve education and safety for our students. One of those items was a one-to-one computer initiative. We've added elevators to three of our buildings using this fund. And most recently, we used it to purchase a building to house our alternative school.
The penny tax is scheduled to end in 2029, and Pellet says they are pushing for an extension now because the tax helps ensure better bond rates for projects.
By extending that, you allow that opportunity for districts to utilize that revenue with today's expenses and bond against future proceeds.
Pellet says board members are aware of the tight funds in the state, but says this would extend a tax that has proven to be successful and is not creating something new. She says the money generated helps the entire community.
There is a benefit even if you don't have students in school right now. There's a benefit. Those are public use facilities that are used for many, many other activities and things other than just the education of our kids.
Pellet encourages parents and community members to talk with their school boards to learn more about how the tax is used in their districts. She's encouraging school board members across the state to talk with local legislators about the importance of extending that tax. The director of the Iowa Department for the Blind says there is rapid growth in the number of Iowans who are losing their vision, and Emily Wharton is asking the governor and legislators to set aside $80,000 so she can hire another independent living teacher. Wharton already has a team of five teachers who travel the state helping Iowans over the age of 55 who are losing their vision due to conditions like glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetes.
These folks are wanting to enjoy their retirement and finding it difficult to do a lot of the basic tasks in life. They don't know how to get around if they're maybe not unable to drive. They don't know how to cook or clean their house safely, how to use their technology to stay in touch with family and friends, and how to really participate in the activities that they enjoy and be a part of their community.
The agency's independent living teachers work with individuals, train small groups, and seek out local volunteers who can provide support to Iowans in their communities who are suffering vision loss. Wharton says the goal is to keep people living independently in their own homes.
If we can just keep one person from having to go into a nursing home or a really restrictive assistive care facility, we do end up saving quite a bit of money.
The department recently changed the travel patterns for its independent living teachers.
Clients are grouped into geographical areas, so the teacher will go into a certain smaller geographical area for a period of 4 weeks and see each of those clients in that area once a week. And this enables the clients to practice what they're learning, you know, during that week and come back with questions and ideas. And we found that this really increases retention, reduces frustration, and we're seeing a lot quicker progress.
An estimated 54,000 Iowans currently have low vision, and about 8,000 of them have registered with the Iowa Department for the Blind. A study conducted by Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine predicts the number of visually impaired Americans will double by 2050. State Treasurer Michael Fitzgerald says 273 Iowans who are intellectually or physically disabled have accounts in a recently new state-run tax-free savings program. Fitzgerald says a disabled person or a relative may contribute to an iAble account.
This is a way where family, for an individual that's disabled, can save or have money put away for them up to $100,000, but they can use it for as the name implies, achieving a better life experience.
The money may be used for a variety of things, like a specially equipped vehicle or job training.
They could put up to $14,000 in each year to the account. And of course, they can start using it for training experiences as they go along, or they can save it, but they can't go over $100,000.
Many plan for the money to help a disabled adult son or daughter find somewhere to live after their parents pass away. Fitzgerald says nearly $1.4 million has been invested in the program since it was established in early 2017, and $250,000 has been withdrawn. A disabled American usually loses their Social Security disability and Medicaid benefits if they have more than $2,000 in savings, but the IABLE program meets federal guidelines, so that doesn't happen. Iowa is among more than a dozen states with this kind of a savings program. Fitzgerald says IABLE gives those concerned about the well-being of a loved one the opportunity to save for future disability-related expenses. And authorities say one person was injured trying to extinguish a house fire in Waterloo. The blaze was reported around 9:25 a.m. Thursday. The Waterloo-Cedar Falls Courier reports that residents tried to put out the blaze, which started in the basement and spread up through a wall to the attic. Waterloo Fire Rescue Battalion Chief Troy Lux says the residents' injuries didn't appear to be life-threatening. The person's name has not been released. The fire cause is being investigated. That's a look at some of the latest in local news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements this morning. Harold Cavanis, age 88, of Greenfield, died Monday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Harold Cavanis will be held on today at 10:30 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Marvin Lee Ludwig, age 82, of rural Menlo, died Tuesday at his home in rural Menlo. Funeral services for Marvin Lee Ludwig will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at Hockerberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. Alice B. McKibben Leyland, age 96, of Atlantic, died November 14th at Atlantic Specialty Care. A memorial service for Alice B. McKibben Leyland will be held on Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Bethany Farm Christian Camp east of Brayton. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Francis Paul Cron, age 55, of Littleton, Colorado, died November 18th at home. A mass of Christian burial for Francis Paul Cron will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Mary's of the Assumption Church in Panama. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Donna Bell Adkins Fossil, age 78, of Earlham, died Tuesday at the Community Care Center in Stewart. Memorial services for Donna Bell Adkins Fossil will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Earlham. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has the arrangements. Dr. Ralph L. Smith, age 97, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Griswold Care Center. No services are planned for Dr. Ralph Smith, but a visitation will be held at Hockerberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic on Monday from 4 to 6 p.m. Joanne Elaine Nolf, age 74, of Waukee, died Thursday at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Joanne Nolf will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Donna J. Kessler, age 89, of Audubon, died Friday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Donna J. Kessler will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.